A weak solidarity briggie team listener, when the socialist government's commitment to take climate change, if there is such a thing, seriously, got off to a big start as it sought to extract lots and lots and lots more gas and coal, told us it was imperative that coal-fired power stations be rebooted, which seemed to be giving the boot to its climate change promises, but then politicians, gas, a natural mix, and their priorities were proven spot on by a lot of fossil energy supremo Jeff Dimier the Lightsey, who told us closing coal-fired power stations is committing economic suicide. See, it's the economy, stupid. And how dare activist investors in a hostile political environment Jeff blame for much of the problem interfere with that political environment, putting the Earth's environment ahead of profit environment. Thank goodness we've got Jeff to set us straight on that. But the real problem, showing how Dimier Jeff is the country has been swamped with renewables, he said, which make coal uncompetitive. So the answer, according to Jeff, is more coal. More uncompetitive coal. Can we spot the odd flaw in Jeff's argument? The sundry fossil giants, try as they might, just can't see a way to prevent soaring energy prices, which certainly help their economy, stupid. Dismissing irresponsible and stupid suggestions like the fossils belong to the country and the government should just force them to provide it at a cheaper rate. What nonsense! On which, thus far, the new Minister for Fossils, Chris Bowen, the Capital, is living up to his name. So the problem is, we assumed, that True Blue Aussie is suffering from an acute shortage of gas. Oh, no, no. The great corporate behemoths laughed at my naivete. We'll be providing gas all over the world for decades. But then we sputtered, but they were too busy drilling to hear us. On those who are finding their power bills and soaring costs of living a bit of a problem, the spate of buy now, pay later caring entrepreneurs concerned solely with those who actually can't afford the item, can obtain the item, have been promoted as a boon to their customers who have found the buy now bit a huge advantage and so easy. What these companies are now discovering is that the pay later bit is not such an advantage, not nearly as so easy, in fact, so hard. And doesn't that come as a huge surprise? They are not, they assure us, payday lenders nor traditional credit providers. They are, they are buy now, pay later. And those who are finding the pay later bit more difficult than the buy now bit are also finding their liabilities, their debt soaring, as they can't meet repayment deadlines. But repeat, they are not payday lenders. Though it's difficult to comprehend why the buy-nowers can't meet their commitments as the ever-smiling, ever-happy Jerry Heavy Prices of relentless, ubiquitous advertisements Heavy Prices Norman said the economy is in good shape and consumers should be able to cope with the interest rate rises. Speaking personally, I can afford whatever I want, Jerry spoke happily for the lowest of low paid. So with the economy in good shape, workers can finally get a substantial wage rise, Jerry? Not that good shape. There's good shape and good shape. So, sorry, workers, the time is still not right. Oh, and I hope no one thinks happy, happy, selfless Jerry had some ulterior motive like boosting his company's shares as households feel their economy is not in such good shape. Yet despite sensible arguments by caring employers, like our old mate Innes will cost the workers of the True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group, that we cannot control inflation if the price of labour keeps pace with the prices caring employers charge us, we are now at risk of a wages and inflation and interest rates death spiral. Innes warned how serious a wage rise would be. Evil unions have displayed their refusal to accept reality by suggesting it was time to look at the other side of the ledger. ETU Acting Secretary Michael Wright reflected their ignorance. And how's this for a lack of concern for the greatest little economic order of them all? The starting point for tackling inflation, he raved, surely must be price and profit restraint rather than requiring workers to keep taking it in the neck. Wages have to keep up with the cost of living or else our society gets poorer. Oh, have we ever heard such nonsense? Didn't he listen to Innes's timely warning? And anyway, the good news at least is that the caring business class will not get poorer despite heaps of their customers having less spending power. And that Sally McManus of the ACTU threw up that profits had increased by 21.6%. As if that means caring employers could pay the lowest of low paid the crippling dollar an hour they're trying to extort from those caring employers in the lowest of low paid case. And don't they understand that bigger and bigger profits are the very raison d'etre of the delicate flower that is the economy, providing the wages the caring employers can't afford? Caring employers also assure us the problem of slow wages growth can only be addressed by workers working harder, increasing productivity. And the bloody ACTU also pointed out that productivity had increased substantially, as if that was enough, forcing the poor caring employers to inform us they believed it was an exceptional situation. So, sorry again, workers, like the economy in good shape, increased productivity is not increased productivity enough to warrant a pay rise. Yes, sadly, the time is not right. So, keep working at it, pull your fingers out, and don't we have to feel for the poor caring employers, although a few clues as to in how good shape must the economy be and what levels of increased productivity would warrant a wage rise, they could tell us when the time is right. The exciting Caring Business Evil Union Summit the socialists have promised has the caring employers telling us top of the agenda must be giving the boot the boot, the better off overall test, because that is clearly a barrier to a good shape economy and increased productivity. So how can workers be better off if you make them worse off? Again, we displayed our weak that was naivete. Obviously, spokesperson Charles Bloated spoke for them, making workers worse off will ensure they can be better off. Oh, obviously, otherwise caring employers wouldn't pursue the change so relentlessly. One of the world's filthiest rich of the filthy rich caring employers, Elon Musk, has decreed that if his workers want to work from home, they must first work in their workplace for at least 40 hours a week, and then they can do the rest of their work from home. 40 hours and then, in terms of their lifestyle, can we spot the odd problem with Elon's expectations? When Elon will be pleased to hear that the much-publicised plan for a minimum global corporate tax rate is on hold and will not be introduced next year. One of our former favourites, Matthias Rottentuther, announced in his current capacity running the OECD. Some of us might have thought this year would be too big a delay, but Matthias assured us he expected to happen. It's going to happen, he said, but we can be sure the filthiest rich are shaking in their Swiss leather boots. Meanwhile, Big Supremo Anthony Albanese, headed for Indonesia and other people's business, with a bevy of the filthiest rich of the filthy rich, true blue Aussie and transnational corporate barons, to stitch up a bit of business, with Indonesia in telling true blue Aussie we should slow down in our hostility to evil China, try to ease rather than exacerbate regional tension. And as a quid pro quo, true blue Aussie obviously would have... No, a bit too sensitive to raise the matter of Indonesia Rin's invasion, occupation and persecution of the West Papua and its people. Certainly the caring corporate leaders would have advised that there was no need to raise something so less important than stitching up a few business deals. And anyway, the resource behemoths raping and polluting West Papua and defended by Indonesia Rin trained killers are quite content with life in West Papua. Finally, in the week that was sport, our prediction for Monday's match to celebrate Her Most Gracious Majesty's birthday is there will be a half-time brawl in which the Melbourne players will bash the proverbial out of each other. Oh, and finally, speaking of Her Most Gracious, very important, most important item of the week, really, in the Lord Rupert of Wapping Media, that after the troop in the colour last week, the royal cousins had a cousin's lunch, but the Duke and Duchess of Sussex were not there. Spend a week thinking about that one, listener. Good morning.